Let's confess our faith together again, found on the back of your bulletins. Well, the Bible teaches about the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Continue really with the theme that we began earlier about teaching our children the ways of the Lord, and the children then also embracing that way that our parents teach us, which is really what the fifth commandment is all about. The context, the family context in which God wants the faith passed on. Congregation, what is God's will for us in the fifth commandment? That I honor, love, and be loyal to my father and mother and all those in authority over me. That I obey and submit to them as is proper when they correct and punish me. And also that I be patient with their failings, for through them God chooses to rule us. And then let's also read from the Bible, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, page 1041, 1041. Let's read together verses 1 through 4 of Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. May God bless this word to our hearts and lives. The sermon title then is The First Commandment with Promise, or The First Commandment with a Promise. There are what appear to be promises in the second and third commandments, but those are actually sanctions. This is the first commandment with a promise, the fifth commandment. Dear brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, when we lived in the United States from 1990 to 2000, that was the Bill Clinton era. We were privileged to be in the States for all eight of his years. Prayer was being banned from the government schools during that time. Many Christian parents were very upset by this. And a group of 300 evangelical leaders at that time went to Washington to protest to meet with the Senate chaplain, Richard Halverson, to try to stop the removal of prayer from the schools. And at one moment, Dr. Halverson said to the crowd, "I have a question for you. How many of you have prayed with your children this month, outside of church?" And nobody raised his hand. That's the sad state of Christianity in North America, isn't it? Nobody raised his hand. The fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother, is all about the task of parents to pass on the faith, to teach the Lord to the children, and the children to receive the faith from their parents. It's a two-sided commandment. On the one side, the children are called to honor their parents in the Lord. But the other side of it is, fathers and mothers are called to rule their children in the Lord. Both sides of the commandment. This is what a household among God's covenant people looks like. This is how He wants us to live before the nations. Honor your father and your mother. I want to look first then at the meaning of this command. The meaning of this command, children, obey your parents in the Lord. And you fathers, looking at the other side of the command, you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. And with this command, God establishes the family setting as the proper context for passing on the Christian faith to the next generation. The family setting is the proper context. In the Lord obey, and in the Lord instruct. We might read it then this way: children, obey your parents in the Lord as your parents teach you the way of the Lord. That's how this comes together. Our culture arrogantly wants to claim the right to define family in any way we choose. Maybe it's got two moms. Maybe it's got two dads. Maybe two parents that are not married. In fact, you probably know that in September, all government forms in the province of Ontario recently removed the categories of father and mother. We wouldn't want to have any established definition of family, would we? Well, God in the fifth commandment establishes the definition of a family: father and mother and children. I know there are times in His providence when father or mother are taken away from the picture, or when there can be no children. God still is powerfully at work in such a family that trusts in Him. But that doesn't abolish the institution of family as God has ordained it, as a father and mother with children. In that family context, the Lord places a structure of authority. So the context, family context, is the way the faith is to be passed on to the next generation. And in order for that to happen, there has to be an authority structure. In this commandment, God establishes the authority of parents over children. Secular liberals say that authority is invented by people so that they can have clout over other people. Authority is given by God. It's His gift to be used properly. So there's an authority, a real structure of authority in the family. Children, obey. You're under authority. Honor your father and mother. And fathers, together with mothers, we know that from other scriptures, bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. You're in authority. Bring them up. Training them, admonishing them, disciplining them in the Lord. And the Heidelberg Catechism points this out. God's will for us is that I honor, love, and be loyal to my father and mother and all those in authority over me. There's a real authority structure that God has planted in the family. For through them, our parents, God chooses to rule us. God wants us to recognize the family context. God wants us to recognize the authority structure in that context so that the next generation can know the Lord and His ways. The fifth commandment then is fundamental not only to society but especially to the Christian faith. Now some teach that the old covenant, you've probably heard this sort of language before, the old covenant is a covenant in the flesh, circumcision and all, you know, made with households that run through family lines. It's more of a biological and blood and national thing. But that the new covenant is different. It's spiritual and more personal, individual. Have you heard that before? Well, this contrast between old and new is wrong, because the old and the new covenant are very much the same in the way God uses parents in His covenant to reach the children of His covenant. And that's why households are baptized in the new covenant, just as households were circumcised in the old covenant. And it's for this reason the Apostle Paul says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. He's addressing them as members of the church at Ephesus. You kids belong. And so I have a word for you, The Lord Jesus addresses them as sheep, as his people, his congregation. Even though they're not yet brought up in the Lord, you might say, they haven't reached that point. God intends the parents to pass on the faith to their children, and the children to learn the faith from their parents. Now, obviously, the family's not the only context for learning the faith, because that happens inside the bigger context of the church, which instructs both parents and children, like the Apostle Paul here is talking to both. Right? The church ministers to families, parents and children. I'm sure this teaching is not new to you, but it's important to be reminded of the things we already know. That's how the Holy Spirit stirs us up to turn from sin and walk in his ways. So what does this command mean? Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Two words are used. Children, obey your parents, and honor. Obey and honor. Notice that even though the husband is the loving head of his wife, and his wife is to submit to her husband with respect, that's found in Ephesians 5, just before this instruction to children and parents. And the wife is to submit to her husband with respect. Children are to honor and obey both parents. Honor your father and mother. Both parents equally without distinction. So we may not say or even think, oh, I have to give my dad more respect than my mom because he's the head of the house. Not true. Yes, he's the head. That's true. But that he therefore deserves more respect is not true. They deserve respect equally, or maybe not always deserving it. God commands it equally. It's important that dads stand behind their wives and demand that their children honor your mother. Don't talk to your mother that way. I've seen dads expect their kids to honor them, and yet when they disrespect mom, they laugh. That's terrible. You cut the mother's influence over the children at the knees if you don't train your children to respect their mom. Honor your father and mother. Children, obey your parents. It's not easy because rebellion lives in our hearts from birth. Nor is it always simple because sometimes there are circumstances that complicate children obey your matters. If we grew up in families where the parent-child relationship was healthy and happy, this made obedience a fairly simple matter, right? Not always easy, but simple. They gave reasonable commands. You have to obey them. You have good memories of your home. But if you're from a home where the relationship between parents and children was very unhealthy and parents were harsh and unfair, that makes obedience to them much more complicated. And it might still break your heart if you let yourself think about how things went in your home. So as God's people, we need to appreciate the difficulties that many go through and support them to seek to honor their parents when they're unharsh or harsh and unkind, even though it can be very difficult to do so. Such people will need support. It's still the command. Children, obey your parents, honor your father and mother. But as parents, let us be careful to deal firmly with our children and fairly with them. Sometimes parents will pick favorites because, you know, one child is easier to get along with than another. I know that Josh is much more easy to deal with than Joel. But as parents, I think, is that true or false? But as parents, you can't pick favorites because one child's easier. I'm going to like him more. It's very tempting. But if you want them to honor you, then you have to treat them fairly and kindly and gently, not selfishly. Love does not seek your own good. So let's use our authority in a gospel manner. Just like fathers are to love, husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And wives to submit to their husbands as the church submits to Christ. Well, let's, as fathers and mothers, use our authority in a gospel manner as Christ deals with His children. Firmly, fairly, kindly, gently. Because we're Christ's representatives, aren't we? In our home. That's what it means to bring them up in the Lord. We must use our authority to serve, not to exploit. We must use our authority not to keep our children out of our way. That sometimes happens. We use our authority to sort of just push people around so we can have our own way in our own space. No, but to direct them in the Lord's way. In spite of the challenges, this commandment is spiritual, good, and stands firm. Children, obey your parents. Obey them without fighting and arguing. Listen to them. When it seems unfair to you, listen to them. When it goes against what you want, listen to them. Show respect by being patient with their failings. Parents aren't perfect, are they? The beautiful thing about parenting, dear parents, is God's grace. Our task is to bring Jesus to them. And nobody's going to do it perfectly. And we'll be impatient sometimes. And we have weaknesses and we have failings. But God's grace is that if we bring Jesus to them, we may expect Him to reach into their lives in spite of our imperfections. I always find that to be very freeing and comforting as a parent with failings and weaknesses. But children, show your parents respect by being patient with their failings. Sometimes, as we become teenagers, I distinctly remember this happening in my own life as a teen. As we become teenagers, and teenagers, just a child who's en route to adulthood, our parents' failings really begin to aggravate us. And we're tempted to despise mom and dad. Despise them for their weaknesses. Well, guard yourself against this, dear sons and daughters, because it's through them that Jesus is reaching into your life. Be loyal to them even when you're with your friends. And mom and dad can't see you or hear you. If you put them down and despise them when they're out of the room, when you're out of the room, when they're out of earshot, it will affect your relationship with them. So most of all, it'll affect your relationship with the Lord. Obey them in the Lord. It'll affect your relationship with the Lord, for your sins against your parents are really committed against Jesus, who's caring for you through them. He says, Josiah, Jesus says, Josiah, I want to love you and direct your life through your mom and dad. All right? So as you grow up and leave home, the command to obey them decreases, but the command to honor them continues. The fifth commandment continues until our parents die, and even after they die. People of God, our parents spent lots of time and energy on us when we were young. But as they grow old, this goes into reverse. We are called to spend lots of time and energy on them just because they are our parents. In our culture, there are so many who abandon their parents because they're too busy for them, or because they're afraid it will hurt their careers or their bank accounts, or because they don't have the patience. Oh, mom just keeps repeating herself. Whatever. I don't go see her anymore. This is ungodly. We must take care of them when they're older. And this becomes more of an issue as parents live longer than they used to. That's the meaning of this command. Obey, honor your parents in the Lord. Use your authority. Bring them up in the Lord. Well, let's see, secondly, the reason for this command. Paul gives three reasons here for children to obey and honor their parents. First, he says, for this is right. And that word just means it's fitting. It's natural. It's the way God designed life, made the family to function. It's unnatural and unfitting for children not to be required to obey their parents. That would destroy the family fabric. And if the family fabric's destroyed, society cannot stand. It will fall apart. The obedience of children to parents is the seedbed for obedience to church and state. That's where obedience, respect are learned at home. If obedience to authority is not learned at home, it won't be learned anywhere. And what we have going on in liberal Western societies today is unnatural. Many atheists believe that parents teaching the children the Christian faith and its moral values is a form of child abuse. That's what Richard Dawkins says. That's child abuse. Children should be left alone to determine their own values. In some countries, it's considered a violation of human rights for parents to punish their children, and corporal punishment is illegal. Well, brothers and sisters, this is not right. This is not right. It's unnatural. It defies the Creator's design for human life and relationships and can only produce chaos and misery. That's child abuse. That's child abuse. Not to be in authority of your children, and children not to respect the authority of their parents. Sometimes parents themselves are anti-authority in their outlook, and they encourage their children to despise the government, to despise the police, even if you got a ticket for, and you deserve it, fight it. To despise the church, despise other authorities, figures in their lives. Beloved, let's encourage humble submission in our children's lives. It's the training ground for loving God. So it's fitting. It's natural. It's the way God designed life. A second reason for obedience is very simply, God has commanded it. This is the first commandment with promise. He's commanded it in His law. It's for all people, but in a special way for His people. Jesus writes through Paul, His messenger, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Before you jump to the word promise, pay attention to the word commandment. This command was given at Mount Sinai and is repeated in the New Testament and in a special manner given to the church. Because this is where loyalty to parents and all those in authority ought to reign and ought to shine before the world as a witness to all. God is our Lord and King. Hey, respect for authority should shine most of all in church, because we've come. That's what conversion is, to learn how to bow down to God. And that gets reflected also in family life. Of course, there are limits to what it means to obey parents and those in authority. We must obey God rather than men. When anyone puts us in a spot of making a choice between obeying God or obeying man, we must respectfully obey God and humbly suffer the consequences. But of all people, the ones who know their God must lead the way in showing obedience to those whom God has placed in authority. So it's a command. And then there's one more reason, and it's actually the first and most important one, why we should honor our father and mother. It's the Lord Jesus. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. That's a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Lord. One translation, the Contemporary English Version, puts it this way. It's more like a paraphrase, but it gets at the point, well, children, you belong to the Lord, so obey your parents. You belong to the Lord, also obey your parents. As your parents train and admonish you in the Lord's ways, so you must obey and follow their direction and discipline in the Lord's ways. His command is not a burden. It's good news. Again, the Lord Jesus, your Savior, is reaching out His hands to you, to the young children of the covenant, through their parents and saying, follow me. So you might say, why should I obey my mom? I don't like her. Well, you should like her, but then, okay. What about Jesus? Why don't you do it for Him? Do it for Jesus. He's worthy of it. Respond to His love as He reaches out to you. You'll see this very clearly in the context of Ephesians 6 verses 1 through 4. Paul speaks of three relationships there among God's people. First, he talks about husband and wife in Ephesians 5. And then about parents and children in the passage we read. And then after that goes to masters and slaves, or we might say today, employers and employees. In each relationship, he emphasized that the foundational reason for behaving as we do in our marriage and family and workplace, the foundational reason for our behavior is that we are Christ's people. And we've been saved to live for Him, not for ourselves. We've been saved to honor Him. We've been saved to show His glory. So parents, it's about Jesus, not about you. And children, it's about Jesus, not about you. We don't simply obey because we're told to or to avoid punishment, but for Jesus' sake. Obey your parents in the Lord. Remember that God gave your parents to you not to do whatever you want or whatever they want even, but to do whatever He wants. Parents, we don't command our children just to avoid being embarrassed by our children's bad behavior. Better have them live orderly because I don't want to look bad in front of other people when they misbehave. No, that's not why we command them. Or that's so we can be proud of them and show others just what good parents we are. I was talking to somebody earlier. They asked me about my family. How many children do you have? 7. Are they all walking with the Lord? Yes. That's not how I answered, but that can be a real temptation, right? Aren't I good? I can say currently they're walking with the Lord, but if I consider all the sins I've committed along the way, there's plenty of reason why they shouldn't be. God is gracious and He's willing to reach out through us to our parents. So we don't do it so we can be proud of them and show others just what good parents we are. We do it for Jesus' sake. He wants to use us. We want to glorify Him. He saved us for this very purpose. They're His children ultimately and not ours. They're His children. And you might say, loans them out to us so we can raise them for Him. And then finally, let's see the promise of this command. God attaches a great reward to this commandment, that it may go well with you and you may enjoy long life on the earth. He puts together the reasons from Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. It may go well with you, and you may enjoy long life on the earth. We must be careful not to read this promise in the wrong way. It doesn't mean that every good child will live to at least 90 years old. But if you're a bad child, you're not going to make it past 30. That's not what that's saying. Not every child of God lives to be old. God takes some at a very young age or at middle age. Adam's son Abel would be one example. Died young. The evangelist Stephen died young. The apostle James died young or fairly young. These and many other righteous people have been snatched away right in the middle of life. In the Old Testament, the promise was attached to the land, so that you may live long in the land which the Lord your God has given you. The meaning of this is that if the children in Israel did not obey their parents' instruction in the Lord's ways, what would happen? Israel would become ungodly and they wouldn't be able to stay there in the land of Canaan. And that's what happened. They had to leave the land and live as exiles in a foreign country for many years. They didn't follow the faith of their fathers. It was also true in Israel at an individual level. If a son or daughter cursed his father or mother, he had to be put to death. You're not going to live long in the land. Well, in the New Testament, the word land is changed to earth, that it may go well with you and you may enjoy long life in the earth, on the earth. The people of God are no longer tied to the land of Israel in the Middle East. They're spread over the whole earth. In fact, one day, this earth will belong to Christians only. Jesus said, "The meek shall inherit the earth." So I'm happy to say to you that the new caliphate being established in the Middle East is not going to work. It's not going to work, right? The meek will inherit the earth. And that means the followers of Jesus. They'll inherit the earth. When Jesus returns at the end of the age, he will destroy all wickedness and make this world a new heaven and a new earth, and all the saints shall live here forever. But if you do not heed your parents' instruction in the Lord, listen carefully, children. If you don't heed your parents' instruction in the Lord, you'll not remain on this earth. You'll be cast into everlasting destruction with Satan and his angels. This earth will not be yours. If you reject their instruction in the Lord, that's what this means. It means your salvation and well-being depend on you honoring your parents. No, obeying mom and dad can't save you. Only Jesus can. But it's a promise to God's people who have God's word, who know Jesus and believe in him, and all their teaching and rules and discipline. Your parents' aim is to bring Jesus to you and you to Jesus. And through them, again, Jesus is stretching out his hands to you. And if you reject their instruction and choose to go your own way, your life will be cut short. You will perish. You will not inherit the earth. You will reap destruction. I plead with you, don't go that way. But listen to the evangelical father, that is, the gospel-believing father, speaking to his son in Proverbs. "My son, don't forget my teaching. Let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you." Get wisdom, get insight, don't forget. And don't turn away from the words of my mouth. Don't forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many, in fact, forever, forever. And here really is the heart and soul of the fifth commandment. Your heavenly father has given you your earthly father and mother, so that through them you will find your way to the heavenly father and spend eternity with him in his household on his earth, new heaven and new earth. And it is their special task and privilege to bring God and godliness to you, and you to God and godliness. Through them, the Lord is calling you to come to him in trust and worship and love and obedience, and to live the truly good life. Many children think, in conclusion, that if they buy a gift for their parents and give them royal treatment on Mother's Day and Father's Day, then they're honoring their parents. Others think that if they just follow their parents' orders, then they're being good children. That's not really what God has in mind in the fifth commandment. In this commandment, God's plan is that you embrace your parents' God as your God in true and living faith. That's what it means to honor them. We truly honor them when we accept their instruction in the Lord and imitate their faith. That's what truly delights your father and mother, and above all, it delights your Father in heaven. And yes, then, it shall go well with you forever. Amen.